Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
Violet Brown driving.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Just a prediction, too. This is, like, I don't have the Apple Watch. And, you know, I would say if I heard this from a brown check mark, I'd say just my gut. Because, you know, the Ainge comments last week with Toucher and Rich. Now, this other audio from this interview that he did in 2019 that Zoe and Beadle played, like, it's starting to heat up. And, you know, I think there's some real heat on Danny Ainge. The silence from the team and that Ainge hasn't walked back some of that commentary. There might be, like, an internal discussion going on. And I wouldn't be shocked that if they're out tonight, that by the end of the week, we'll hear Ainge stepping down.
The Boston Celtics season filled with starts and stops and starts and stops has reached its final end. The final score in Game 5, Brooklyn 123, Boston 109. The Celtics are eliminated in Round 1.
And you mentioned this is something you'd kind of thought out for a little while now. Could you give us a little sense of the timeline of when this started?
It was my decision. And like I said, it started when I had health issues 2 years ago. I trust my instincts. My instincts told me a couple months ago that it was time for me to move on. That's what's best for us. That's what's best for the Celtics.
Welcome into the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Final one of the year. Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Brian Robb of Mass Live covering the Celtics as well. We'll get a lot of input from him, and we'll hear from you at 617-779-0985. We started that clip off with, yes, yours truly, the clairvoyant one. Hashtag the clairvoyant kid.
Hashtag brown check mark.
No brown check marks. No, nothing. I heard nothing, Chris. No, you know what it is? Like, nobody should be surprised that something like this went down, and I called it at 5:50 on Tuesday on Felger and Maz because I got to know. I got this big nose ain't just for, like, you know, aesthetics. I can sniff out chaos, and I just knew. My gut told me, like, something's coming. I didn't think it would be 12, 24 hours later, but I thought by the end of the week something was going to happen and that Ainge would be stepping down. And what do you know? Like, the next day, it all happened. So he's out, retires. And I use air quotes. I can't help it. I think this whole thing's a crock on it. What's your gut tell you? Like, you buy this at face value? I don't. So he retires. Brad Stevens is your new president of basketball ops. I personally believe he had zero interest in getting that job, but he probably wanted out of his contract because he was considering other coaching options, maybe the Pacers, something like that. My guess, again, my gut was right. Hashtag the clairvoyant kid. Wick and ownership said, you know, we just gave you the bump and extension last year before the bubble. Nice job. And you're under contract for like 6 more years. So, yeah, you're not going anywhere. Here's the new title. And, you know, this is going to be a collaborative effort. And so you have this new look of the Celtics front office. Biggest story of the week. Obviously, an incredibly disappointing season. I think that, look, they weren't championship caliber, Chris, but they should have been better than the play-in round and getting waxed by Brooklyn in 5 games. So the disappointing season here, I think, is costing people jobs, or at least this upheaval and change. So your biggest takeaways from what's been a pretty tumultuous week for the Celtics?
Okay, takeaway number one, Kyrie ended your organization. I mean, I think a lot of this traces back to Kyrie and the path that he put the organization on and how invested Danny was in that and the way it didn't really work out. So I think you can look back and blame Kyrie for the fact that you don't have Danny Ainge running your basketball ops anymore and that you don't have Brad Stevens on the bench. I think that, you know, Kyrie can take the Trae Young-like bow at TD Garden. Don't stomp on the logo, Kyrie, but just take the bow and say that you, Kyrie Irving, ended the Danny Ainge Boston Celtics.
Could that have changed if they gave him more, you know, more autonomy in terms of what, like, personnel decisions? Like, they truly, like, they really treated him like LeBron. Like, hey, Kyrie, whatever you need, whatever you want, we'll do for you. Had they done that, are we in this position?
Yeah, I think we're still in this position.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's just me. That's just me. But to go back to this thing, do I 100% buy that this was always the intent, this was always what they were going to do, and it was part of some master plan? I don't. And do I buy that Danny would be stepping down if instead of a 36-36 season and what was a rough off season for them where his moves didn't really work out, instead if they had gone, you know, 50-22 and all the moves were great and Kemba was healthy, I think he'd still be around because I think there'd be a little less stress for him. So I don't 100% buy sort of what they're selling in terms of all of this. And I think there's a factor in here, and B-Rob can jump in. I do think there's a factor in here of a tune-out factor for Brad as a coach and a burnout factor for Brad as a coach. And you have an ownership group that doesn't like change, that likes continuity, and they didn't want to risk losing both of these guys. I think already Brad was iffy on coaching, and if Danny was going to go and he was going to have to work for another boss, I think he was going to be really iffy on it, and so iffy he was going to go. And so they looked at it and said, okay, we have to keep one of these guys. We need continuity. It has to be, you know, Brad. Brad, would you do the front office thing? And Brad was like, okay, that's interesting, and it's easier for me from a family standpoint. Because here's the thing. It doesn't make any sense to me, and I know I've said this before. I go back to the Bill Belichick thing. If you move somebody from a spot where they're accomplished and good to something where you don't know if they're capable of doing it, sometimes you just end up weaker at two spots. And it makes no sense to me that they wouldn't at least wait to talk to a Sam Presti or a Masai Ujiri. Just poke around for an experienced guy that you know can build a basketball team and is qualified to run basketball ops. There is zero evidence that Brad can do this well. It doesn't mean he won't. It's just that he's a total unknown in this role.
And so to go back where you said, like, he's done coaching, you mean this group?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think it's, you know, here's a successful in-demand head coach if he was out there that's young. Like, why would he want to be a GM? And who would also want their last year as a coach to be the year that Brad Stevens just had? You know what I mean? Like, people want to go out on a high note. So this is where I think, like, okay, he was either done with coaching this group, so that's why he took the job, or he was kind of fired as the head coach, and it's like, okay, you're still under contract. We're not going to put you out on the street because we don't want you going anywhere else, so this is what your new position is going to be. Like, that guy's, like, life, his enjoyment is in front of a whiteboard in coaching. Like, that's where he's supposed to be. You can't tell me he truly wants this job. It just, I think it's he's still under contract, and that's why he has this new position. B-Rob, what was your take on all this?
Well, I have a question for you guys on that front, because I think it is fascinating knowing Stevens' history, but what we've seen plenty of coaches go up to the front office, obviously, across all sports.
Sure.
Which guys come back down to coach? Because I feel like grind of coaching, like, I would rather, 100% rather be sitting in the front office and not have to go back to that.
Pop did a million years ago, right?
Sure.
Yeah, he did.
Greg Popovich
I think
did.
He's always kind of been doing both. Pat Riley, too.
Yeah.
Kicked out Stan Van Gundy when he had the title ready to win,
yep.
You know, with Shaq and company. But beyond that, you know, you've seen a lot of guys do both and fail.
Right.
But for Stevens, this might be for him a situation where, okay, this is the next step for me. Yeah, and I know I can go back to coaching when I can do it, but if I can succeed in this is, you know, I could have a job, you know, not for life here, but close for a long stretch, like just like Danny did.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I would say what's interesting about this, though, B-Rob, is that most of the guys in his position who get the personnel power basically remain a coach, or if they go back to coaching, they retain both. The Celtics made it really clear they wanted to separate these jobs. So if Brad did want to go into player personnel and be more involved in that and have that final say, this was seemingly the only avenue for him to do it, because it seems like Wick and Steve Pagliuca, based on what they've studied and percentages, I mean, these are smart guys, Bain Capital guys, and they've studied it and said, hey, you know, when one person has the control, it tends not to work unless you have Tim Duncan. So I think that if he wanted, you know, I'm not sure that it was really like an option for him in the end. And I'm also not sure that he's not going to be in a position where he doesn't get the itch to coach again. And my biggest question about Brad to both you guys in this role is this. Like I said, somebody in the organization said to me his first year here, when they really probably should have lost even more games and tanked, that Brad Stevens will never tank. He will light himself on fire to win one NBA game. And that is Brad's mentality. Underneath that milquetoast, mild-mannered Midwest exterior beats the heart and burns the fire of a competitor. Can he now in the front office take the big picture view that you have to take, because you can't take a little picture view as head of basketball operations. If you do that, you end up being Doc Rivers and giving away draft picks for a bunch of mediocre veterans to fill immediate holes that help you as the coach, but ultimately put your organization in a bad place in the long run. He's going to have to completely change his mentality to be head of basketball operations.
Or maybe you hang on to someone like Kemba Walker, because maybe in the short term he can help you now rather than trying to trade him for pennies on the dollar.
You have to be able to take a step back sometimes to take two steps forward as the basketball ops guys, but most coaches cannot stomach that step back.
So, B-Rob, do you think that this is going to be more of a collaborative effort then? Because maybe there is some concern, because this is the first time he's going to be doing this kind of a job.
Yeah, from just talking to you behind the scenes, I think there's no question this offseason will be a collaboration in part. But I do think, you guys, that a big reason why ownership gave Brad this chance once Danny did decide to step down, it sounds like, and Danny even talked about how Brad's had a voice in the front office for a while. I think a lot of decisions that were made, I think Brad was potentially an advocate against some of them that didn't go right. And I couldn't give you, I can go step by step for that, but I think
Miles Turner.
But there is a body of work here where, how things have kind of gone off the rails the last 2 or 3 years and in terms of the options they had. And so once it looked like, okay, maybe things would have gone to a different way here if we had listened to Brad and a couple of these things. So when you put and all the factors that you guys have talked about here too, that, I think maybe made them feel a little better giving him this opportunity.
Let me ask you this, B-Rob, and you don't have to name names, though, but my guess is going to be, because look, the shortcomings for this team, guys, the shortcomings were related to not enough of a supporting cast for the stars and a bad bench. And so those are fixing sort of immediate problems for the coach. So my guess would be a lot of the things Brad was advocating for or advocating against would have related to veteran players coming in versus younger guys or a specific type of veteran player. And while that makes him right versus Danny in the short term, in the long term, I still have major questions about operating that way as the head of basketball operations.
Watch, Tayshaun Prince is going to be brought. Guys like that. Those are the guys that Brad Stevens has loved over his And so, but I agree with you, Craig. You can't, where this team is at right now, that is not the answer.
It is not.
And so I am fascinated to see how Brad Stevens handles this offseason. In my mind, next year could almost be handled as a bridge year, if you will, in terms of just trying to reset the deck and get ready for free agency to get a third guy around Tatum and Brown potentially in another year or two.
Okay.
If it's, just moving the supporting cast guys and that's it, and then I think we're going to see some hard questions come Brad Stevens' way in a hurry, because the time's ticking on all those guys.
Well, he did say he'd gone full mass hole, so I wonder if he was like going around the halls of TD Garden, muttering about Danny Ainge holding on to all those draft picks. Son of a bitch, traitor Danny. I wanted Turner or Nick Vucevic, but he's always hoarding those picks. Bastard. Well, the first order of business, though, for new president of basketball ops Brad Stevens, the mass hole that he is to find a new head coach. And they may want to do that sooner than later, because there's more openings throughout the league. We'll get to that next, who it should be, here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people. People, great service since 1928.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What names are you hearing that could replace Stevens?
Well, here's the one thing, Ryan. This is going to be a coveted job. It's the Boston Celtics. You have an infrastructure of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, good players. Watch as these playoffs go on. There could be more candidates available to Boston than who are available now. We know things change. Teams get eliminated. Teams make decisions about their futures with coaches. So I think the candidate pool may increase, or maybe there still won't be any changes among those playing. But Boston's going to have an opportunity to really take a look at the landscape. And Brad Stevens, who's certainly well-versed within this coaching profession, is going to have the ability to have a great deal of say in who his successor is going to be. But this, I think, is a job that any number of candidates, including those who may be employed elsewhere, would love to get involved in.
ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski on who the next Celtics coach could be. And they better hurry up. It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Here at 98.5 of Sports Hub, Jim Murray, Chris Casper, Brian Robb of Mass Live. And I say they got to hurry up because, well, now there's more openings. Terry Stotts. Stotts. Everybody.
You're going to do that.
He and the Portland Trailblazers have mutually agreed to part ways after nine seasons. Boy, that whole thing feels like it's blowing apart in Portland. So there's an opening there. Some of the names being kicked around: Chauncey Billups, Malik Allen, Miami Heat assistant coach,
Ime Udoka, obviously Juwan Howard's a name that you're hearing, Jay Kidd's a name that you're hearing.
Patrick Ewing, we've taken some calls on him.
Patrick, that's a big fat. No.
Sam Cassell. Becky Hammond. I mean, look,
Becky Hammond, Kara Lawson. Tony Bennett, which I've injected into the mix, which Felger loved.
Do you want?
Former NBA player, Tony Bennett.
Who do you want? Who should it be?
Juwan Howard's my number one choice. And his name's now come up with this Portland thing, which makes me believe he's at least interested in exploring what's going on. He's at his alma mater. He's doing a great job. He finally has that thing wired. They have a huge recruiting class coming in. But college basketball is stressful. It's become like the wild, wild west. It's not just recruiting now. It's what's happening with the transfer market. And now that guys don't have to sit out a year to transfer, it's just transfers all over the place. Name and likeness is coming in. I support all of these things in terms of player rights, but it does make it more taxing for the coaches because there's a lot more roster turnover and roster upheaval, and maybe that's less appealing to someone like Juwan Howard. So I find it comforting that his name is being attached to Portland because that would indicate to me he's at least willing to consider NBA jobs at this point.
B-Rob, what are you hearing?
I'm with the same mindset of Chris of just, I think it's going to be a former player that whether it's from college or a longtime assistant in the NBA, like a Sam Cassell or even a Willie Green's another guy who's come up like a good role player guy over the years, who's kind of risen the ranks in Phoenix so far. But I think from that standpoint of just, again, building that communication relationship with your top stars, commanding that respect as you come in the door here, I think that's going to be big. And while also having an open mind to collaborate with the front office and, you know, a guy in Brad that obviously is going to want his hand in coaching to a degree, no question about that, I'd think.
Let me ask you this, because I did bring this up with someone in the organization and they said, you know, they didn't think it would be an issue. But if you're a coaching candidate and you're considering this job and you know your boss is Brad Stevens, who is one of the more highly regarded coaches in the field and obviously has very specific philosophies and feelings about doing a good job of coaching, would that in any way deter you from the job? Now, again, you know, the source I talked to in the organization poo-pooed that and basically said, hey, any coach we hire, we wouldn't want to hire someone who would be thinking that way. You know, do you think a Doc Rivers would have been intimidated by this job, or do you think Brad was intimidated following Doc? And I understand the point there, but I still think there could be some candidates who were sort of turned off by the notion of having a boss.
Yeah, you're going to let me coach?
Yeah, are you going to let me coach, or are you going to do it?
I think it's a really important question. But I do think that, honestly, guys, you look at this, it would not surprise me if this is a totally out-of-the-box hire by Brad Stevens, because Brad Stevens knows every coach ever. Back like pre-pandemic, every single practice, there was literally 50 coaches in there from organizations, colleges, high schools, like all across the world, essentially coming in. He is a great collaborator, has been super helpful to other coaches in the community, so he knows coaches under every rock everywhere. So that's makes it really fascinating hire up here, because I bet it's going to be, part of me thinks it's going to be some guy that most people have just never heard of.
Well, can I throw out another name real quick? What about Keon Dooling, who's on Quinn Snyder's staff? And I know that Brad Stevens loves him some Quinn Snyder.
He does. That's one of his, favorite guys out there. But then you look around at like quotes of all coaches anywhere. Brad, I don't think, has ever said a bad thing about a coach. So when you see these quotes out.
Yeah, find me the one coach he's MF'd.
Exactly. So you have to like take up a grain of salt. So you're going to have to, but you're right. Like Quinn Snyder, there are certain ones he has favorites, and Snyder certainly is a guy in that list, to your point, Chris.
The one thing I want and I like about any of these guys that are former players that, had won and that were, these gritty type of players like a Billups or a Cassell, is that they had careers that spanned, the physical days of the NBA, which aren't around anymore, obviously, to the current three-point days. And they're well-known, they've won, they're respected players, and I do think that they would get the ear of younger players, which ultimately leads me to this. Isn't the most important thing is, hey, Jason Tatum, who do you want it to be?
to a degree, I mean, I think, look, he certainly needs to be consulted. In poking around, I've been told that he will be. But they're not going to just turn the whole thing over to him either. They what they're looking for in a coach is obviously somebody who can connect to these young guys. No question about that. They want someone who's a good in-game coach. They want a guy who's a leader that the players will rally around. And most importantly, they want a coach that the players want to play for. So the Celtics know this is a players' league, but there's a fine line there. You can't just sort of go and be like, hey, Jason, who do you want to be the coach? But you do go and say, Jason, do you have any thoughts on what we need as the next head coach?
All right, let's go to you. Tom and Quincy, you're first up here in the Sports Hub Celtic Show this afternoon. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, boys? Love your show every weekend. Listen, I think ownership also needs to fall on the sword here a little bit. They allowed Danny to give Brad that extension way too early, and it basically put them in a position where they're stuck with them, for the better or worse. With the coaching change, I think that Brad Stevens, I really hope that he's smart enough to know that this team needs pretty much the exact opposite type of coach that he was. Maybe the assistant coach be the X's and O's guys, but they need more of like a player motivator to be like the lead dog.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's a good point.
I would agree with that. Yeah, you can't have someone who's passive and is just the X's and O's type. I think you need someone that's that can grab the collar or grab the jersey if need be, but hypothetically speaking.
But okay, to that point, though, and the report that was in The Athletic about they didn't like some of the negativity and criticism they perceived they were getting on this
babies.
Very station from Danny Ainge and Wick Grousebeck. So you say that they need a firmer hand, like a Doc Rivers, who basically in no uncertain terms told Paul Pierce, like, I can make you a better player. And Pierce was like, what are you talking about? I'm a multiple-time All-Star. And Doc looked at him like, yeah, what have you won? And that was sort of off-putting initially to Paul, but it's like they stuck with Doc, and obviously that whole thing worked out. But do you think Tatum is going to want that guy that's going to come in, or if it's Marcus Smart, that guy that's going to be like, hey, Marcus, you said something about going to 3 of 4 conference finals. Last time I checked, the Celtics organization, find me the banners they hang for going to the conference finals. When you find those, can you get back to me?
Well,
I just don't think they'll respond well to that.
No, I see where you're coming from, but I think you can make a case that Tatum responded well to the prodding by Kendrick Perkins. So they might not like it if ownership or the rich white guy is talking some smack.
Fair.
I think that you got a response from Tatum after Kendrick Perkins sent out the mean tweet, questioning his work ethic essentially. And so, he went off after that. So I do think you might get a response from former players that are respected like that.
So you think they're willing to be criticized, but it has to be by someone who's in the NBA fraternity.
Yeah,
or
in their shoes. Yeah, someone that they look at as a peer like that. Yeah. I think that I would like to think that they, Tatum and Brown and some of those guys would be more willing to, take some hard coaching from someone that had been in there.
As opposed to like some of the B-Rob looking assistants that Brad has.
Yeah, it's the many B-Rob looking assistants on that Celtics bench. Alan in the car on the Celtics.
B-Rob's a good looking guy. He's just, he looks very studious and smart.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really like your show. I had a comment about the coach and a comment about former players. You know, years ago, we had Jay Crowder, Jeff Green. We helped with his health. We had Terry Rozier. These things started when we tried to upgrade from players who loved being here. Jay Crowder never wanted to leave. Terry Rozier is play like a number 15 point guard of all guards. He didn't cause any problems till we signed Kyrie. And in the last couple of Eastern Conference Finals, Jay Crowder killed us with Miami, and Jeff Green that year against Cleveland when we went to seven games.
Yeah, he did.
Jeff Green killed us in game, and we've been looking for guys like that ever since. So I think we have to give some credit to Ainge. We had these guys, and I think that also once we tried to upgrade, so we tried to upgrade to Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward never really wanted to be here. If we had told him point blank, you're the third option, I think he would have said, you know what, guys, I want to be the lead dog. He wouldn't have done that. And my comment about coaches, why are we not hearing Perk's name? Like, Brooklyn had Steve Nash. Surround Perk with former head coaches, like they have Mike D'Antoni. And Perk would be someone just like Juwan Howard, except without the coaching experience, but someone very well-respected in NBA circles.
Alan, I'm going to let you go on that, yeah, because Perk's name has been thrown around for a while. He ain't going to do it because he just got the bag from ESPN.
He did, yeah, he and it's a much better lifestyle he has now than coaching.
He gets to sit in Houston on that big fancy throne in his big fancy house and zoom in and make commentary about the league and get that money. And if I was him, I'd be like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to deal with the league and like the problems with the players and hearing them bitch and any of that stuff. I'll just I'll sit behind the microphone and the camera and make my money and comment on the games.
But I want you to respond to this gentleman who very clearly is advocating for the Bridgies and saying you didn't appreciate them and that they were better off with them.
Look, I've made my mea culpa about the Bridgies a million times now. Do you want me to say it again? I was ultimately wrong about them. They were a better product. They gave you more night in, night out than this group has. There's no doubt about that, especially after this year. No, the Bridgies were a better product for you, the fan. But I called them the Bridgies because we knew what the ceiling was.
Exactly. So I'll be honest, you weren't wrong. Like, you weren't wrong about them. Like, you were never going to win.
I got annoyed by how the fan base talked about them, though, and that was like, well, no, that you're underrating them. It's like, no, I've properly rated them, but I didn't appreciate them for ultimately what they were at that time because, again, they gave you max effort in, night out, which you certainly didn't get this year with this team. You know?
But also, you know, some one thing he didn't mention, he mentioned the upgrade thing, but how much blame does Brad get? Because if there is a clear Achilles heel for Brad Stevens, it has been his inability to extract the most from NBA superstar-type players.
Yeah, well, we'll touch on that next. Why not do that? And we'll get more of your calls on the Celtics, who the next head coach should be. Want to hear your thoughts on that, 617-779-0985. Got one open line. And also, before the show's over, I do want to I want to grade the Danny Ainge experience here. How do you look at his legacy as running the Celtics here for near two decades? We'll get to all that coming up here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brad, if this went a different direction and they hired a new basketball operations president, would you have been happy coaching this team, you know, for the foreseeable future?
For sure. Yeah, no doubt. And again, it goes back to, you know, I love basketball. I've loved my time as a coach. And I also, you know, want what's best for the Celtics.
Nah, he was done coaching this group. I don't believe that for a second. New president of basketball ops, Brad Stevens. Now the masshole's in charge. And the new big swinging dick at the Bucks factory. That's right. You answer to me now. And we have another firing with the Orlando Magic. Reading from Adrian Wojnarowski, the Orlando Magic moving into a full rebuilding process. Steve Clifford, the big red dog, and the franchise have agreed together to a parting. So there's a firing there. Why can't you just guys, like...
No one gets fired anymore, except for on radio.
We've agreed to a mutual decision to part ways. You got fired. So
let's just call these all coaching uncouplings. These are coaching conscious uncouplings.
Conscious uncouplings, right. Yeah. So, all right, well, they better hurry up. Who should the next head coach be? Let's hear from you, 617-779-0985. And anything relating to this team and all the upheaval behind the scenes, the front office with the Celtics this week. Let's go to Corey in Chelmsford. Who should the next head coach of the Celtics be, Corey?
I don't know if you guys have mentioned this name yet, but how about Tim Duncan? He's won multiple championships. He's played under Pop, and now he's coaching with one of the best in Pop. So just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Is he still on that staff? I thought he stepped away from coaching.
Yeah, he stepped away.
Yeah, that lifestyle wasn't really for him. You know, a lot of guys, the lifestyle's a grind, and it's not for everyone. So, I mean, certainly a good thought. I'd say if they're going to end up with somebody from, you know, the Pop school, it's probably either Becky Hammon or Udoka. And I think what's interesting about if they end up with Hammond or Kara Lawson, guys, would be that would be on brand for the Celtics organization. And I want to bring this up because we've talked a lot about Kyrie Irving and his comments and the Cole Buckley, the bottle tosser and all that stuff. But the Celtics as an organization have a reputation that is opposite of the reputation of the city. They've been barrier breakers all along. First team to field an all-black starting five. First team with a black head coach, so it would be on brand for them to be the first team with a female head coach.
Yeah, they wear the progressive thing on their sleeve, and that's good. And so, and look, I mean, anyone that has a problem with it, like, you're a rockhead. It's 2021. All that matters to me is, like, okay, can she command the room? Is Tatum happy with her? Like, then that I'm good. Yep. Like, that's all that really should matter. Yeah. That's all that should matter. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that. The one thing I would say that wouldn't, given, again, their progressive leanings and how they have been so forward-thinking, I would think, like, say, Brad Stevens, again, now the big swinging hog there at the basketball factory says, I believe it should be Jay Larinaga. That's when everyone says, yeah, no. Like, there's no way it's going to be, like, one of these white guys that's been on his staff.
Do you guys really think that, huh?
No shot, Chris. Yeah, because I think that I know, like, Stephen A. Smith was playing it up a bit because, like, that's what he does. But, like, Stephen A. Smith, like, walked off the set when he heard that Brad Stevens got this job. From a national media standpoint, Chris, they can't. Like, they can't hire. Just like.
But again, but what if it is somebody who's really good at the college level, like a Tony Bennett or Scott Drew?
Then they need Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to come out and say, like, co-sign. Like, we love this. And they're, like, all over social media. Like, if they do, I just tend to think, again, given...
So you're talking about the optics.
Yep, the optics. I think the optics are a big factor here. I really
do. Could be. I mean, they definitely could be. But they need to... I don't care, you know... whatever the coach is, I don't care about how the coach identifies himself from a gender standpoint or a race standpoint, whatever. They need somebody that can reach these guys, can get more out of them. And frankly, you know what? I want a coach who can develop young players, because that would be another mark against Brad in my book. The guys he's really developed, I look at, are like Evan Turner. They were kind of young veterans who'd been discarded.
But he got him $17 million in Portland.
Yes.
Right there.
But the guys, but you know, and I'm not saying he's done like a horrible job, because Rozier was solid or whatever. But I need somebody who can instill more confidence in an Aaron Nesmith, who can develop some of the draft pick guys we've had on the team, and also somebody that will be willing to live with the growing pains of these guys and see the big picture and say, okay, I need to play this guy, even though there's this middling veteran who's technically better now. To get to where we need to go, I have to give this guy minutes. I have to tell you, a major red flag for me with Brad and this team this year was in the preseason against, I think it was Philadelphia, when Aaron Nesmith wasn't playing and like Javonte Green was starting and getting major minutes. And I'm like, this is the preseason. If you're not going to put him in now, are you going to put him in during the season? And the answer was obviously no.
Tell me about Leonard Hamilton, our own Joe Murray.
Let's not talk about this.
No?
He has a very good job at an excellent academic institution. He's built a very strong program, and I don't think he'd want to leave.
Okay. Our own Joe Murray tweeting in, hey, Gasper and Murray, imagine Leonard Hamilton of Florida State coaching the Celtics, a very serious guy that can identify talent and coach rotations.
No, we're good. Our basketball coach is good.
So he is right where he is. You want him there.
He's fine. He doesn't need to entertain NBA jobs. He's fine right where he is. We have a very good recruiting class coming in. I think the ACC is in transition with Coach K leaving after this year and Roy Williams retiring. It's going to be our time pretty soon. Leonard Hamilton should stay right where he is. Yeah, unlike you, you won't admit to the fact that they were, you know, your Falcons and your Hawks. I will say my Seminoles. Seminoles.
You had some issues with some of the roster decisions by Brad Stevens this year. Jim in Connecticut wants to weigh in on that. Hey, Jim.
I really enjoy your show, and I particularly like Chris's insights, and I appreciate what he does on Friday afternoons on Felger and Maz. So thanks, Chris, for all that insight. I was just interested in your guys' perspective regarding, as Brad becomes president of operations, recognizing we have to hire a new coach. Would you have a perspective, Chris and Jim, on next season, how they might reconstruct the roster, but more importantly, how do you see the next 2 or 3 years? Because they have a lot of, salary cap potential issues that they have to also deal with. And very interested in kind of how you think about both the short and long term. You were broaching that subject earlier. Love a little more detail on that. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, no matter who the president of basketball operations ended up being, this was going to be a heavy lift of an offseason. And we focused so much on this turnover and turmoil with the Celtics and the front office that really, I think in a normal offseason, we'd be talking about what they have to do to the roster. They have major decisions to make. I mean, Kemba Walker has one of the worst contracts in the NBA. I won't say untradeable because pretty much it's been proven that any contract you think is untradeable, somebody will take it if you throw enough in there. Marcus Smart, I think, is someone who has to go. He's in the last year of his deal. He's one of the few chips you have. He's talking about 3 conference finals in 4 years. He's the longest tenured guy. I think, look, you want to talk about needing to move a player so other players can grow and assume the mantle of leadership. It's not Zdeno Chara, people. It's Marcus Smart. Get him out of the way for Tatum and Brown.
And what about even Evan Fournier? I mean, would they
pay him?
Yeah,
he can't come back. I'm done with him.
Thank you. I'm with you, but, you know, sitting in with Feller and Mazz, they're like, I don't care if he's saying he wants $20 million. Like,
no,
who else are they going to be able to get?
He's not getting $20 million either, by the way, that defense.
Well, how about, right, so that was my thing. Like,
what
okay,
defense?
He doesn't play defense, so you want to give this guy, like, anywhere between 17 and 20? Like, no.
And also, I'll give you this, because I know, and the COVID thing was real, and I feel for him, and I know that affected him, but now, throughout his career, in 19 playoff games, he's averaging 11.7 points per game and shooting 37.4% from the field. He is not capable of elevating his game come playoff time, and they can't have a third guy who can't star or shine in the playoffs. So he has to go.
Raphael in Brockton, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Raphael.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. What's up?
Good.
Yeah, I just got 2 points. First point I want to make is, coaching, Brad Stevens is the type of person that has a certain kind of personality, and the guys that are being mentioned, like the Sam Cassells and the Chauncey Billups, those guys are tough guys, and they're aligned with tougher guys. Like Sam Cassells aligned with Doc Rivers, and Chauncey Billups is aligned with Tyronn Lue. So I don't see Brad Stevens actually having those guys as coaches. The guy that I see coming in, and people aren't talking about it, is Micah Shrewsbury, because of his developmental status and relationship that he had with Tatum and Brown. But my other point is, I just want to talk about the medical staff. I think that the Celtics are not going to get any further without having to address that issue, because if you look at the guys on the team, you look at Kemba Walker, prior to coming to Boston, you're talking about 80 games per season he was playing. And then you talk about Rob Williams. Rob Williams has been oftentimes injured for the last 3 years. So you counterbalance that with Phoenix. The Phoenix Suns medical staff and conditioning staff, they resurrected Shaq's career a little bit. They resurrected Grant Hill. You know, they resurrected CP3 and how he's playing. They might have to try to go and raid some of those those people from over there and bring them on the Celtics staff, because you're not going to get anywhere until they get a healthy team, a consistently healthy team.
Yeah, I can't put Walker and Williams on the medical staff. I think
Walker had
Kemba
issues.
Yeah, Kemba had. I mean, the 80 games per season is exactly why he has the knee issues he's having now. I mean, he's, you know, sort of the Dustin Pedroia of basketball, as people have said, and that knee's probably not going to get any better. And Robert Williams, I think, just as a young guy, when he first came in, there were some questions about dedication and the work ethic, but also just in general, I think he has a tremendous work ethic now, and he's great. But big guys tend to have injuries, and once big guys have some nagging injuries, they tend to have other nagging injuries. So he needs to try and find something that will allow him, I don't know, do yoga, Pilates, bar, I don't know, do something to get more flexibility in your body and try and do the injuries. But I can't put those two guys on the medical staff.
And he had a ton of injuries in college too, Robert Williams. Yeah, so this is something, he's just been an injury-prone guy throughout his career, and like the Celtics probably have drafted a couple too many of those guys in the last few years.
How would you grade Ainge's legacy after near two decades as the head of basketball ops for the Boston Celtics? We'll do that next with more of your phone calls on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Haylen Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people. Great service since 1928.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150 win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Chris Casper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
In the final seconds, we'll take off the clock. 22 years, but the game's original monarchy has regained the throne. The Celtics swarm the floor. It is the end of a 22-year odyssey.
I got the ball!
It is the very definition of full circle. It is Banner 17. The mission statement is mission accomplished.
How sweet it is. How sweet it is if you're the Boston Celtics.
With the third pick in the 2016 NBA draft, the Boston Celtics select Jaylen Brown from the University of California, Berkeley. With the third pick in the 2017 NBA draft, the Boston Celtics select Jason Tatum.
All right, so needless to say, those are the best parts of the Danny Ainge legacy. The title, those two picks, you nailed with Brown and Tatum. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub. But now that it's over, now that he's, and I'm using air quotes, retiring, so I don't buy it. I mean, again, what's your gut tell you? Like, you buy this thing on the surface, like, oh, he's retired, and Brad Stevens is now the president of basketball ops, the job he's always wanted. give me a break. So grade this thing. Let's round table here on the final Sports Hub Celtics Show of the season. how do you look at the legacy of Danny Ainge as the head of the basketball operation here with the Boston Celtics? Now that it's over, what grade would you give it? How do you look at it? Because I feel like there's not a lot in between here, at least on stupid Twitter. It's either like you have the likes of Ryan Russillo, who I like, saying like, oh no, it's been underrated. Like, calm down. And you know, of course, most of the Celtics fan base be like, it was great. It was it? Like, be honest here. Give me a grade for Danny Ainge's legacy as the head of basketball ops for the Celtics?
B plus. You know, he obviously won Banner 17. There was some bad luck there. I think they could have won another championship, particularly if Perk didn't go down in 2010 in L.A. in Game 6. He did a pretty good job pivoting from one era of basketball into another contending era. He did a great job replacing Doc Rivers with Brad Stevens. I think even just going back to getting the new Big Three together, I think sometimes people forget that that was out of the ashes of a very disappointing draft lottery where you thought you were going to be in position to get Kevin Durant or even, you know, Greg Oden, and you weren't. And out of the ashes of that, he put Ray Allen and KG next to Paul Pierce at a time in Paul Pierce's career when he was saying, you know, I'm the classic case of a great player on a bad team. So you have to give him credit for that and credit for what he did to put them in position the second time with Brad Stevens. But I think you also have to give him some demerits for not being able to get this team over the top, for maybe hoarding some of the draft picks. And frankly, you want to underrated, overrated. I think in general, his drafting was probably slightly overrated. Like, obviously Tatum and Brown, like, great picks. And I was fully on board with the Brown pick, and I was there when people booed it. And Rajon Rondo was a steal when he got him. But there's a lot more, I think, of the J.R. Giddens, the Fab Mellows, the Gershon Yabusele's in there than I would care for. And if you're hoarding all these picks, you have to get more out of them. And where's their Draymond Green or their Dylan Brooks, that guy they picked in the second round who turned into a really good player? And don't tell me it was Big Baby Davis, because that doesn't do it.
So it's a B plus from Chris Gasper, correct?
Yes, B plus.
B plus. All right, Brian Robb, Mass Live, covering the Celtics for Mass Live. What's the grade that you give to the Danny Ainge legacy?
B plus.
B plus.
And it would have been an A before the last couple years.
Straight A or A minus?
I would have gone straight A.
Really?
Because I think when you look at what he was building towards right now, like everything he hit from 2013 up until the Kyrie trade, the post Big Three era, it was pretty close to a perfect game there in terms of the trades they made, the draft picks. And so you do have to give him credit there in terms of if he set this team up to be contending for another 5 or 10 years here, then that would have boosted only getting one title in 2008 for me. The fact that, again, things didn't go their way in the last couple of years, some of that was the team's fault. Some of that was just luck beyond the team's control with other draft picks, the Hayward injury, et cetera. But I think it was, when you look at what he did with the Big Three era and what he did setting this team up for the future, it was great but it drops down to a B plus in my eyes based on the last couple of years here.
All right. We have a B plus from Brian Robb of Mass Live. We have a B plus from Chris Gasper of Channel 5 and, of course, of 98.5, the Sports Hub. I will give you the correct answer and the correct grade from yours truly after the Sports Hub headlines as we get into the final hour of Gasper Murray. With more of your Celtics calls, I see a lot of you hanging. We weren't able to get through them with the final Sports Hub Celtics show of the season.
Until the draft.
But then we'll get to your calls after I give you the correct grade on Danny Ainge next.
Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180
actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.